Belton, are you okay?
What do you mean?
Have you been
calmed down yet?
You're still like just.
I can't.
He's still reliving that last drive. I can tell. Wow.
It's over and over and over in my head. That was a hell of a drive, man. And the thing is, you know, when I'm thinking about it, I'm like, man, if that was me playing, like, you know, off O-line and everything, like, you have to be locked in, man. Like, just every nuance, you know, of the play calling, the getting the ball set and everything, right? And watching the defense, what are they going to do? It was, 50-some seconds. I would be looking at that clock, looking at the score. Receivers, I'm talking like, hey, you guys got to catch this ball, and they did it right.
Wow, Duncan Busby dropped that first one. Yeah,
because I was
and then they went to MLS.
I almost got mad at
And Duncan Busby was only in because Robustelli was hurt, right?
So, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So you know they're down to their third string receiver there, and Duncan Busby's been a good player and has caught tough passes, but you can't. He was turning to run, a young player. Second-year player in a position like that catches it and thinks, I'm going to go turn this into something, and started turning before he had done his grabbing.
Watch the ball in.
Yeah.
Watch it in.
I would watch that last drive. I'll probably be watching it later on tonight.
You're going to get home, get on the PVR.
And watch it. Mm-hmm. That was a heck of a drive, man.
That was a heck of a drive. Now that you know how it ends, what if it didn't end that way? Would you go home and watch it then?
Probably not. I'd be like, why didn't Mays run it on third?
All right, let's go to, we're going to go, there's two Jareds back to back. We're going to go to Swift Current first. Jared in Swift Current. What are you thinking after the Riders clinch the West?
Hello, this is Jared. This is Jared heading to Swift Current.
You're heading back home, Jared. What do you got?
You know, I'm really happy, but I just can't help to think back to 4 weeks ago when everybody was calling into the Green Zone saying this is not a Grey Cup team. Everybody called in and everybody was mad, and I don't think anybody realized that we had third strings in on that game versus Toronto.
Well, was that Winnipeg? Was it Winnipeg?
It was Winnipeg. Against Toronto, they were playing their starters.
Sorry, Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I take that back. It was Toronto about 4 weeks ago.
Did they win that game?
The game that we won that we clinched first place.
Yeah, they played their starters. Most the Riders did.
Well, for a little bit.
Yeah. 27-19, they beat Toronto. Yeah. Back.
We had third-string defensive backs, and all I can think about is everybody calling into the Green Zone saying, nope, this is not a Grey Cup team. And you know what?
Because everybody – yes, now I remember, because they should have put the boots to Toronto. Yes, and it was Jarrett Daigie, and there was like, what? How do they not – and that's – if they can barely beat Toronto. Now I remember that post-game show. Yep. There's been a lot over the last 13 years,
I don't blame you. And you know what? I was on my way back to Swift Current that game, and I was disgusted. And everybody calling into the Green Zone saying, "We're not a Grey Cup team. We're not a winning team. We're not this. We're not that."
Did you phone us that night? Did you phone us that night?
No, I didn't. I haven't phoned since 2022 when we let go of Fajardo.
Welcome back.
Well, I'm glad you called back, Jared. I'm glad you called back.
Thank you.
What do you think of their chances, though, against the Montreal Alouettes?
I think it's absolutely going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be a way, way easier game than tonight. Tonight should have been a blowout, but we didn't play like we should have, but I think the Alouettes don't even have a chance.
Why? They got a really good defense.
They have good defense.
You know, they do, but everybody underestimates our team, and they always have. And you know what? After Corey Mace decided to punt it there, you know how many Rider fans were leaving the stadium?
Yeah, we walked out with a few of them.
Yeah.
It was insane. And I don't know why people walk out like that. And I don't know why people give up on our team.
Jared, there's nothing that drove me. we used to chant part-time fans in the old university section back in the day when people were leaving.
It's true, though. Rider fans won't leave if the team is winning, but they often leave if the team is losing. I've noticed that for decades.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really strange that way. You'll see that it starts emptying out if they're losing, but if this team's winning, even if this team's winning 56-2, people sit there because they love the victory part.
Oh, yeah. Well, the people who stayed love the victory part tonight. I can guarantee you that. And a lot did stay, but there are a few trying to beat traffic.
It is tough to get out of there sometimes. If
you're Yeah, that is true.
Like the buses and the bikes are the good ones, but you're not many people riding bikes tonight, I don't think.
No. I wonder if Locker was on his scooter again.
Jared, they still let him ride a scooter?
Yeah, I think so.
Should be a bylaw against Locker on a scooter these days.
Jared is Saskatoon. What are you thinking tonight as the Riders go to the Grey Cup?
Well, first of all, love that dude's name. I'm J-A-R-E-T. I'm
usually Jarrett. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, Jarrett. No. You had it right. I'm usually calling from Saskatoon, Kit River, Walk Lake.
Oh, what a travel itinerary you got.
Yeah, it's but you know that dude should call in some more. anyways, I just couldn't resist. I basically had to pull myself off the floor today. I was so excited and had to crawl up the stairs. I might have missed the first half of the show, but wow, it just wouldn't feel right if someone didn't mention the kickers. And I'm pretty sure the other team kicked one off the upright.
Yeah. Yep.
John White was 0 for 1 tonight. How weird is that?
That was weird.
Yeah. One of the greatest kickers in CFL history goes 0 for 1. He did make all 3 point afters, mm-hmm. all 3 converts. But that was wild for
those
Sean
3
White.
Points mattered, by the way.
They did. Every one of them.
They definitely did. Yes. And I'm sorry to bring that up for Ford Belton. And, you know, I might have wrecked poor David's unsung hero, but you know what? I'm just so happy that we won. I did my sports select on the Banjo Bowl, and I definitely lost that bet, and I haven't recovered from that, but I can't bet on the playoffs because my heart's too much into it, and it was just a great game, and wow, it was just... I think I'm actually calling a buddy from mine who's a longtime Blue Bomber fan, and he actually texted me at the beginning of the season. I actually saved the text. He says, "Wow, you guys are looking pretty good at the beginning of the season." He says, "I should put $100 on the Rough Riders to win the Grey Cup." Well, I think that poor Blue Bomber fan is kind of wishing he just did that back then.
it would have been a great bet back in the day because the Riders going into this season, the bookies didn't have them down for the best odds to win the Grey Cup. Then it shifted, but myself, you, Daryl,
we all of us, Britain,
everybody on the green zone at the start of the season predicted them to be in the Grey Cup.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, this was a team that's good enough, and they are good enough, and they darn well proved it tonight on why there was the belief for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Jarrett from many different locations, thanks for the call. appreciate it. As we go back to Saskatoon, Ken is on the line. Ken, what are you thinking tonight?
Well, I've got a few things for you. First of all, some homework for you. I want on the green zone on Monday you to get our special teams coach. Since we're playing against Montreal, I want to hear that coach clearly and confidently count to 12. Okay? That will make me feel so much better going into the game. So that's something that you have to do. Now, on a more a bigger story here, is it is vital for the Canadian economy for the Riders to win. Because if Montreal wins, they'll sell a little bit of merch, okay? But if the Riders win, there will be so much green and white 2025 championship hoodies and merch like crazy all across the country under Christmas trees that will revive our economy.
I actually thought about that.
Yeah, really?
I'm like,
how much merch could be sold?
Oh man,
they make money when they win a Grey Cup.
Well, and this is the time, even for the Rider ticket office and everything too, right?
But Ken, what you wanted to talk about Trevor Harris too?
Yes, I think both Mark Mueller and Trevor Harris were nervous in the first half. I thought that the play calling was a little bit it didn't seem to have much of a plan. Like, they got away from the run. They didn't really push the ball. You know, I don't think that it was set up for Trevor Harris to be comfortable and get comfortable. And I think for him, he just realizes his legacy is here. He's a competent quarterback. That's always what he's been. He's never been one of the best in the league. But this could be a career-defining season for him.
Yep.
And it was and so he really at the beginning looked so nervous, like he was missing people he shouldn't have been missing.
He was off target quite a bit.
He was. There was lots of drops too. Like, I'm looking at when I look at Trevor Harris's numbers tonight, 38 attempts, 26 completions, 68.4 completion percentage, 305 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Mm. Pretty good night.
Yeah.
Those how many drops did he have? He had at least 5.
I was going to say at least 5.
Like, he would have been 31 of 38 for probably 350 if it wasn't for the drops.
Yeah. He even connected with Schaefer Baker in the end zone there. That was a catchable ball, right? Yep. So, yeah. And that drop at Duncan Busby's was horrific. Man.
There was a few early, a few late. But Trevor Harris coming in the clutch with 1:03 left, charging down the field. 11 seconds on the clock. Tommy Neal and Trevor Harris hook up for a crucial touchdown as they're one win away from their 5th Grey Cup championship as a franchise. A lot more coming up. Belton Johnson's Beast and Beast. We still have to hear from Corey Mace and others from Mosaic Stadium, Game Warriors, etc. One line's open at 1-877-332-8255. 24-21 Riders will play Montreal for the 112th Grey Cup next Sunday, and we will have you covered right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. As we continue here on the Green Zone post-game show, Rider Nation's revved up. They're going back to the Grey Cup for the first time since 2013. The Riders will play the Montreal Alouettes after the drama that ensued at Mosaic Stadium with a Tommy Neal touchdown with 11 seconds left from Trevor Harris to win 24-21. Lorne, what are you thinking about the head coach before we hear from him?
Well, he's got to have gonads the size of beach balls. And it's not so much even just that field goal instead of going for the TD. When you got a 1:48 left and you're punting, I'm thinking, you know, BC's only got to get one first down and the season is over. Now, I know what the thinking is. They're thinking almost for sure BC's going to want to run the clock off, so they're going to hand off and they can probably stop, which they did. But it didn't have to go that way necessarily. Really fortunate. The other thing is, when you're down that close, and they were talking about Stevens and running it in and so on, you know, you've got 14 seconds left in the ball game. You're going to pass. If it goes incomplete, you've only burned off a couple of seconds, so you're going to get 3 cracks at it. You run the ball, you don't get it in, you're probably only going to get one more crack at it. And you're going to be out of time. So, it was absolutely the right thing to do to try to pass for the winning TD. The other thing is, Trevor Harris has got to be the Rodney Dangerfield of quarterbacks. Guess what? The 2 finalists for MOP in Rourke and Mitchell are only going to get to the Grey Cup if they buy tickets. And I'm really happy about that.
But Bo's not to look too kindly around people in Saskatchewan. And I think there's some exhaustion outside of some markets of the Nathan Rourke narrative. He's very good.
Oh, he is.
There's no doubt about it.
was creating some enemies tonight. He was creating some enemies tonight, wasn't he?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He kept on barking to the crowd. It's our time. It's our time because of this comment from from Trevor Harris.
I'm not here to talk about Nathan Rourke. I think it's our time.
And
it was Nathan. They shook hands at the end of the game and patted and hugged each other and said a couple words back and forth. Rourke and Harris did. I'd be interested to hear what they said. Right? Because they respect each other, but that's part of the fun of pro sports, and we don't get very much of it. So it's fun when they do it, and you can rub it back a little bit. You know, it's not personal. It's just it's professional. It's let's just do it and create some excitement. That was great.
Of course, Lorne wanted to shout out the head coach. So let's hear from the head coach, Corey Mace, asked about reflecting on a West final victory.
Yeah, I guess I really haven't taken much time to reflect on it yet. just waiting to see when, the Montreal game is going to be ready, you know, for us to break down. Like, it's pretty sad from a coaching's perspective, but for those guys in there, elated. You know, we have an opportunity to go to work next week, come back together for another week. What a time, you know what I mean? That's important to us. We love being around each other. And we have an opportunity to do something that we'd set out to do since training camp. So that's pretty cool.
Corey, the second and three stop on the Lions' late possession there, how crucial was that? Can you take us through that sequence and what that meant to the game, please?
Yeah, no, incredibly huge. So really, I mean, that was pretty much pretty damn close to being it for us. So we knew we had to make a play. You know, obviously, us taking the points with a little bit of time left, we had another timeout. Just put the faith in the defense, and then ultimately the faith in the offense. You know, that we work those situations every week in practice. So I've seen it. I know what we're capable of on both sides. And they went out there and they did that. But hell of a stop there, to get those guys off the field, get us the ball back.
How close were you to going for it? Or, like, how much did you weigh that before you went with that decision?
Yeah. Yeah, no, very close, very close. Look, I feel like last year I probably just would have said, F it, let's do it, I said, F it, bro. But to take the points, just knowing that what we're capable of doing to be able to make sure that we're taking points rather than if we didn't get it and then we got to do the same thing just to tie the game. Just faith in the guys. That's all it came down to. So it was thought about it for sure, but pretty easy decision. And we went for it a third and short earlier in the game. So, yeah, man, I don't know. Sometimes the football guys did us a favor, and then, you never know. So let's just take the points.
Corey, can you just talk about Tommy Neal, the guy coming over from Toronto, said he signed because you were coming here. You're the only reason he signed here, to see him, all the hard work get rewarded with that catch there at the end.
Look, Tommy is an unbelievable human being who also happens to be an unbelievable football player. He does everything that we ask. He's super reliable. And I've seen it essentially, his whole career. When we were able to get him here, we all knew as coaches and anybody who's been around him, the type of player that he can be. And it was unfortunate he started out in camp, with an injury. But when he came back, we all knew what he could do. So he's been unbelievable, and now they call him Touchdown Tommy in the locker room, So, man, super excited for that kid and his family, man. Unbelievable family.
I know Trevor Harris doesn't like to talk a lot about his legacy and everything, but that drive's going to go down as maybe the best so far in his career. What do you think of that?
Yeah. Look, like I say, it's I'm never shocked by what these guys are able to accomplish. We just see it. We see it time in and time out throughout the week of practice, right? So, and, in game, not shocked at all. The guy's dialed. He's a super competitor. And he loves his guys, loves his team. So not shocked at that performance from seven.
How do you balance taking the time to celebrate this one, and do you see the hunger in them to keep going and go 1-0 next week?
Yeah.
You see that?
No, great. Yeah, absolutely. We addressed that as soon as we got in as a team. You know, I get it. What a heck of a game, and we came out on top. And let's enjoy it tonight. We I think we earned that right. But, you know, a few of those guys in that locker room have been to Grey Cups and been on the winning side and the losing side. And you don't remember this moment if you don't go 1-0 next week. So we always do reality checks. The reality is we got work to do, and it's a really good opponent. So, yeah, they'll be fine.
That is Corey. There you go, Daryl. That's exactly what you said.
That's true.
This moment tonight means nothing if we don't win next week. Mm-hmm. So back to work tomorrow. Enjoy it tonight.
Yeah.
Back at it tomorrow.
It validates it. Of course it does. You know, the runner-up, well, how they got there, it doesn't matter as much. How did you win it? How did you win it? That's what pro sports are about, winning and losing. And another reference he made, remember what he said a couple weeks ago with Keon Hatcher and that disputed catch? And he said, maybe the football gods will shine on us mm-hmm. next time. And I'll take it if they do. They got it tonight because the football gods were in his favor tonight. And he kind of joked about it. And I didn't hear anybody really drilling him about it or grilling him about it, about those tough decisions that he made that I thought we all thought were ludicrous when they're
no
first and goal on the five.
Well, he said trust. He said trust.
Yeah, trust.
I trust these guys.
Boy,
I trusted his defense.
Football gods, man. Trust. You can have trust, but the trust could totally go haywire at the end. And they did it. Good for him. And he looks like a genius. But I'm still wondering about that one, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. It worked out for him. Good for them. Good for them. Okay.
Yes, it did. Let's go to Richard in Saskatoon. Richard, what are you thinking tonight with the Rough Riders? So win over the BC Lions.
Well, Lauren took my little bit of saying, but I was going to say that the question has been answered. We now know who has the biggest kahunas in the NFL. When he decided to kick that field goal, I was sitting with guys, and they were like, really, a field goal, a field goal? And I said, he just decided to go for the win. That move was exactly what he needed to do to win the game and not go in overtime. He had the trust that he showed to the offense and defense. I've never seen that. I've been going to Rider games, I don't know, 40, 50 years, and I've never seen that kind of a trust on that. Harris didn't have a great first half. He missed Keenan J. Baker a couple times, underthrew him, or we had that game by probably at least 14 extra points in the first half if he throws those balls out where he can get them. But there again, Harris has shown that he's not a quitter. None of the guys on the team are quitting. They're all going 60 minutes, and that's what it took tonight to win that game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It was like virtually the 60 minutes and keep playing right till the end, till that last whistle. I also wanted to say that I hope AJ keeps jumping guys, because I'll tell you what, when he jumped that guy in the middle of the field, that's highlight reel stuff, man. Like, you don't see that every day. The guy had him paced, and he just threw himself up over top.
Yeah.
And I love that. That's the kind of guy that's trying to get every single single.
Okay, you love the first hurdle, but then why did he hurdle the second time? He
fumbled it.
Yeah, and he fumbled the next time. You know, I don't know. Bad things happen when running backs leave their feet. You might think, yeah, it's a highlight reel play.
If you're one-on-one, I don't mind it. But that moment, he tried to jump. Like, there was
a
bunch of guys in there, and I'm like, whoa.
One of them got a hand on the ball, obviously.
Because you got to think, when you go up, especially a running back, it's loose, right?
Yeah.
Anybody could punch at it, and I think that's what happened right there.
He didn't hurdle after that.
Knew he did. The coaches probably told him not to. Let's get to Belton Johnson's Beasts and Beefs.
From chop blocks and dirty hits to big-time catches and fans in the stands.
That was a good old Southern spanking right there. Mm-hmm. I love every bit of it.
You never know what'll catch Belton's attention. It's Belton's Beasts and Beefs.
All right, Belton. The good, the bad, the beast, the beef, Where are we starting?
Let's start with the beef, Jamie.
Let's start with the bad. What are your beefs tonight with this football game?
Horrible first quarter. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man.
One nothing doesn't get you out of your seat?
Oh, my God. I'm sitting there like, is this game going to end up like 10 to 11 or something, right? So that was number one. What else I have here? Third quarter, Schaefer Baker. He tried to flip himself up.
Then
when
he
scored, just hey, when you do that, you got to nail that, Jay.
I forgot about that touch. That was after his touchdown on third and two.
Yep. Yeah. Sarge.
He looked funny in that one.
Oh boy. AJ Olet fumbled the ball there, right? Trying to hurdle, and BC recovered it. What I have. Nathan Rourke in the fourth quarter there, just the Houdini acts that he, I couldn't believe he kept getting out of it. And in my head, I was like, just knock him out, man. Mm-hmm. Like, cause he got the first down. It was like third or second and something there, and flips it. Butler gets the first down, right? You know, I got to, you know, Ryder settling for a field goal. They were, you know, at the end zone there in the fourth, the third and long or whatever, yep. Right? I couldn't believe that. But my biggest beef, fellas, I don't even think it was his halftime, but they had this guy running across the field.
carrying those things.
How many beer did that guy have today? He could not run. He was, his jersey was on backwards. Yeah. He
face planted.
Oh my god!
Two face plants, right? Yeah. Going across.
Then he got up. He's like, "Whoa, man!"
I was about to say, "How many beers did this?" Guy?
My goodness, that good. Yes,
that's my beef. Chicken.
I thought it was going to be the kick for 500 grand guy because that was terrible. Did he practice like? No
way. And to be that far back, because I actually
Pill country.
I actually joked with some guys in the alumni there, like, oh, maybe this is an addition for, you know, kicker. A kicker or something.
So you and your kickers.
All right, let's go to the beasts, Belton.
All right, beast. Second quarter. I don't know if y'all looked up at the Jumbotron, but they had this guy with no shirt on.
Yeah,
out there and everything.
AJ Olet?
No. This there, he had no shirt.
Okay. He was living his best life. I think it was the quote from Britton Gray when he saw that.
let me see here. And you know, even though I gave AJ Olet a beef for hurdling, yeah. In the second quarter when he did that hurdle,
you like that hurdle?
I like that
because he held on to the football.
He held on to the ball there. Third quarter here. Trevor Harris, he had, I think it was second and long, and he took off for a run to get the first down. I couldn't, you know, I'm just.
Trevor Vick at it,
man,
again.
He was. Mm-hmm. Let me see here. In the fourth quarter there, of course, Trevor Harris to kneel for that touchdown. But my biggest beast here, Jamie, Marcus Sales with that pick out there, bobbled and everything.
After the AJ Olet fumble.
Yeah, it was, right?
That was a huge play.
That seemed to be the biggest one at the time, that's for sure, yeah.
And I couldn't believe it because I'm sitting there, they're threatening to score. I know they're going to score, but, yeah, Marcus Sales, it bounced off C.J. Revis there, right?
Yep.
So that's my beast there, Sale. And he could hit, man.
Woo!
Oh, yeah, that was one pass he broke up. Yeah. Oh, he spacked somebody.
Oh, man, hit him. Wow.
Yeah. There you go. There's the beasts and the beefs from Belton Johnson. We got a lot coming up. Britton Gray says you have to play the Brent Lawther audio. Okay, we'll do that coming up here on the Green Zone Post Game Show. And Trevor Harris, and still time for you, and Unsung Heroes and Game Warriors. We're still cooking on a Saturday night. Heck, let's go a little extra time. The Riders are going to the Grey Cup for the first time since 2013. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone Post Game Show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson with you on this Saturday with the Riders off to the Grey Cup with a 24-21 victory over the BC Lions. So much drama to recap, and we thank you for your patience tonight. Doug, thank you so much for hanging on the line. What are you thinking with the Riders going to the Cup?
Oh, I'm just overjoyed, but I got to ask you guys a question. Given the four playoff games that we were treated to the last two Saturdays, how can you not be a fan of the CFL?
Everything. All four have come right down to the wire. Yeah, They've been the great finishes. Absolutely.
And the game will be even better with the new rules.
Okay, why do you have to say that?
Because I know a lot of people are saying, why did you make any changes when they were so exciting? But
that's and, you know, that's why you get a call from Florida.
And Nanaimo and California.
And North California.
Yeah.
But, Doug, what do you think of this team going into the Grey Cup next week?
Well, I'm wondering about Alexander's health. And I'm pretty sure he was favoring his hammy again today.
Yeah.
And even if he is playing next Sunday, you got to wonder how mobile he's going to be. And if he's not mobile, the Riders are going to eat him up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
He's a multi-talented threat, isn't he? He runs, you know, because like Rourke tonight.
He reminds things, me of Rourke.
Yeah, they do play around a lot alike, right? And they're the undisputed leaders and spiritual, inspirational leaders of their football teams, right?
That's right.
So Rourke's capable of that, and Davis Alexander, 13-0 as a starter. So you're right, absolutely. If he's not able to run, then that really helps the Rough Riders, doesn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, remember we talked about this a little bit earlier in 2007 when the Riders played the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the Grey Cup, and Kevin Glenn had gotten hurt, and they put in Ryan Dinwiddie.
He threw three picks,
including James Johnson.
I think he threw four, and James got three.
Okay. Yeah. So
that's right.
If you don't have your starting quarterback, and even if he's not at full health, Davis Alexander isn't the same threat that he is at the moment.
Doug, thanks for the call. Walk off last week for BC. The Montreal Winnipeg game was awesome. Today, walk off field goal for Montreal and 11 seconds left for a game winning toss. 4-for-4 for CFL drama for the CFL playoffs. As we continue here on the Green Zone post game show, Lynette, what are you thinking tonight?
Oh, wow. After the shock, and I'm still in shock. Okay, I guess Mays did explain it, but I couldn't figure out why they were going for a field goal when a field goal wouldn't win. Mm-hmm.
And even after scoring the field goal, they still had to
score a touchdown.
So it made no sense at all. Made no sense at all to us either, Lynette.
What was the point?
Well, he said that he had faith in his team that they would get the ball back and score the touchdown. And even when he punted the ball away with a minute and 48 left, he still thought that his defense would stop the Lions. Yep. They did, and they marched downfield. So he played against the rules, not against the rules, against the odds. Absolutely, Lynette, I think you're right, and we agree with you. He shouldn't have kicked that field goal, but he did and won, and it saved him a lot of embarrassment, because if they didn't, we'd be all over him for it. But now you have to say, okay, I guess he's a genius.
Trust. That's why he did it.
Yeah.
That's
what... That's
huge, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now the team just believes in him completely. He can walk on water now. Your question's absolutely valid, though.
No, yeah, absolutely. We were all wondering the same thing, but he explained it after the game. Trust. I believe this defense could get the ball back, and I believed our offense could march down the field again. And he was correct. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what played out.
So he can go, nah.
Well, and even with the players, right? That's the guy you run through the wall for there.
Yeah, he had faith in them. Yep. He has trust in them, and that's exactly why they believe in him, and he believed in them.
Let's go to the Rider locker room. A guy who's had a lot of heat this season, didn't miss a kick tonight, went 5-for-5 on all his kicks, was Brett Lawther, as Britton Gray congratulated the kicker on getting to his... I guess he was part of that Hamilton team in 2013, so his first Grey Cup in a while.
Yeah, thanks for the congrats, and, you know, it feels like a long time coming, and still doesn't feel real, honestly. trying to process everything, and stuff's going to move quick. But end of the day, just preaching to everyone, the job's not done. We didn't try to come this far to come this far. So one more, and but I can't lie, it definitely feels great right now.
What did it mean for you with the struggles, the ups and downs, to go perfect in the biggest game of the year so far?
Yeah, I mean, kind of about time to go out and do that for the guys, and always tried to pride myself a little more on, you know, being better come playoffs. And I don't know what my percentage or anything is, but don't really remember missing more than like one or two in my whole time here. And we needed every point tonight, and it wasn't me. That last drive by Trevor in the offense and the ups and downs of that game, it's probably the craziest, best game I'll ever be a part of, and just thankful for it.
The special teams group is so tight. So what's mean to do this for Jorgen as well, who's been around even longer than you, and he finally gets to a Grey Cup?
100%. Like, that guy is a man. I wouldn't be here without Jorgen. Helped me early on get on the team in 2015 and back out in 17, and been with him ever since. He's family, and he's the number one guy I'm most excited for. He deserves it, you know, but we still have one more to go.
You and your family have made such an investment in Regina and Saskatchewan. You've spent so much time in the community. What does this mean for the province that's come to be your home?
This is for them. Everything we do, you know, I'm not perfect and had a lot of ups and downs, and I totally understand everything that comes my way, but everything I try to do in the off season, in the season, it's for them. Kind of brought me in. Feel like it's my home away from home. This is family here. I got a lot of people I consider family here and have stuck with me through the highs and lows, and right now this is all just for them. So
that is Brett Lawther after the game.
That's my guy, man.
he pulls me in again, man. He pulls me. He does, Jamie.
The kicker.
That's why he's their guy. That's why he's their guy in that room, because that is who Brett Lawther is. He accepts the heat. He understands the heat. It's not like he's, oh, you guys have been talking crap about me. No, none of that. He's like, yeah, I haven't put the ball through the uprights. I can't ignore that. Mm-hmm. And the guys want, they want him to hit a game-winning field goal. That's that's that.
Well, I think they'd rather win by 20.
It would have been interesting if they go for it on third down and get the touchdown to tie. Yeah. It could have come down to a Brett Lawther walk-off field goal.
That's true. It really could have. He would have needed that cover, too, at that time.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. So, but he was 5 for 5 today, as predicted, by Belton Johnson on the Green Zone pregame show. As we continue, 1-877-332-8255. Warren, thanks for your patience. What are you thinking tonight, Warren?
Well, I got about 5 things I want to talk to you about. And that first of all, and that last year I called, and when you guys were, well, not you guys, but fans were trying to push Corey Mace overboard. And I called in and told you I was a Blue Bomber fan and give him a chance, because that happened to Michael Shea. And it looks like it was proven that Corey Mace was the right guy.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, I was wishing for Davis Alexander to be in there, and you guys can pretty take the smug off his face and watch Jason Moss cry, whine, like most times. And let's see, Ken from Saskatoon beat me to the punch regarding your marketing. Just don't use the Pittsburgh Steelers 1981 slogan of one for the thumb. It didn't work out that year.
It did not for the sales. What else you got, Warren?
Okay, but my slogan would be, if you guys do win, one Grey Cup 5 in 25. And for you, Jamie, who chomps on the gum more, Pete Carroll or Corey Mace?
Ooh, I'm going to go with Corey Mace.
Really? Well, Corey's pretty stoic out there.
I think he's got, I think, a bigger wad than Pete does.
Yes. Absolutely, he does.
Pete's a more active chewer, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's got the jaw gets a lot bigger workout, I think, for Pete Carroll, no doubt about it.
Because Corey May stands on, he's pretty stoic on the sidelines sitting there.
It's a rabbit in the hair, the turtle with the hair. And one's chomping fast and the other one's chomping slow.
Maybe that's a question, Warren. I'm going to have to ask the head coach in Winnipeg. What is his gum of choice? For
didn't we ask him that before?
Breakup Sunday.
He's been asked that before. I've been in a scrum and I can't remember what he told us.
Oh, figure
we'll
have, it out.
We'll redo it. That's what happens at Grey Cup. You ask the questions you've asked all year because it's all a new spotlight for them.
It's a bigger spotlight, a bigger audience. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And they're going to go crazy in the next couple of days, getting tickets and family requests. Winning tonight.
It started tonight.
Oh, that office will be buzzing with travel plans and hotel just to make sure who's got rooms. Who needs rooms for family? Who needs tickets?
Mm-hmm.
It's craziness. That's why it's great that the CFL gave them an extra day, going from a Sunday to a Saturday.
Yes,
and you know, Saturday playoffs, and then they got 8 days between.
Yeah.
So you get an extra day to kind of coordinate everything, and then they get back into the routine.
All right, let's get to Game Warriors.
Warriors, come out to play.
From big plays, big catches, and big hits. Now, Game Warriors.
All right, Game Warriors. Darryl Davis. For the 13th time this season, we start with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders offensive Game Warrior. Who you got?
I'm getting lazy tonight, guys. I always say we're not doing the quarterbacks tonight. It's the quarterbacks on both teams, just so you know. Trevor Harris, 26 for 38, 305 yards, two touchdowns, and a game-winning drive.
And how about three carries for 15 yards?
Oh, yeah, right? That's true, too. Yeah, T-Mobile. Trevor Vick. Yeah, good for him. And an amazing drive. How can he not be the game warrior for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders? And
Nathan Rourke, yeah.
Yeah, I would just go the other way, right? His numbers aren't huge. But like you say, 20 for 30, and he had at least five drops.
Oh, yeah.
290 yards, a touchdown, interception. He carried... But it doesn't say very much, 4 for 6. But, just the way he rolls out and stays away from that pressure and that play that he made that he flung it to James Butler. Oh, my goodness. He's just the two. It was great quarterback performances, not the outstanding numbers, but they're the game warriors of the offensive game warriors, as quarterbacks usually are. And I try to pick other ones, but not tonight, man.
All right, let's go to the defense. Saskatchewan Rough Riders defensive game warrior.
Well, we've been talking about Marcus Sales, only two defensive tackles, but man. He nailed it. I can't even remember who the receiver was. He nailed like the first or second quarter. And then that huge interception, which may have been a game saver, the way things worked out, because it was after Ouellette's fumble. Mm-hmm. And it ended up, I think Saskatchewan went downfield and got a field goal off of it. So turning the game around, that's like a 10-point swing, basically. And he was in the right place at the right time, didn't give up on the play. And I think those are huge plays. And that's what a defensive game warrior should do. So Marcus Sales.
As we go to the route. BC Lions, defensive game warrior.
You know what? A.J. Ouellette was running a lot. He shouldn't have to get into the secondary, but Jackson Finley, their young safety, who's turned into a really good player for this team, a draft pick this year. He's a rookie. Seven tackles, and he is the one who was stopping Ouellette a couple of times, if I remember correctly. So there's nobody who had outstanding numbers. We're expecting more from Matthew Betts. That offensive line did a great job on the all-star defensive end for the Lions. I think Jackson Finley got called upon more than he should have been, but made seven defensive tackles and probably kept that team from kept the Rough Riders from getting away from them a few times. So let's give Jackson Finley the defensive game warrior for the BC Lions.
The offensive game warriors, the quarterback, Trevor Harris and Nathan Rourke. Defensive game warriors, a couple of DBs, Marcus Sales for the Riders, Jackson Finley for the BC Lions. Coming up, we'll get to Unsung Heroes, bold predictions, and Trevor Harris, all coming up next on the Green Zone Postgame Show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone Postgame Show. I want to hear from Trevor Harris. I want to hear from the quarterback.
Go for it.
And what he was thinking at 3rd and 5, and Brett Lawther walks onto the field, and the head coach says, let's kick the field goal. Let's kick the field goal right here. What did Trevor think?
Nothing. I trust Corey Mace. He knows what he's doing. As you guys all saw, I'm sure that there's people at home going, what are you doing? And now they're like, Mace is the man. So,
Trevor, just your thoughts to be able to deliver that drive for this fan base and everyone out here, because we always talk about the history of the Riders and coming up just short.
Yeah, I think it's one we'll remember for a while. Everybody did their part in it, you know, whether it was protection, AJ cleaning up protection, the receivers making plays, us responding as a unit and as a group. And so just one of those times where you just know this moment, like I kind of told you guys, the moment's not going to get too big for this group. And, you know, you lose Joe early in the game when he kind of got his head dinged or whatever it was. And Dell steps in seamlessly. And, yeah, we never flinch. That's kind of what we do.
Your thoughts on just that drive when you're on look back at it, when your career and everything, that's one of the biggest drives you've led.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, I feel like we kind of gotten the short end of the stick in terms of, I don't know if people were rooting for us or they wanted, you know, the other team or whatever it was, but I think we kind of found a way to take it personal. And this group is capable of more, and our best football game we haven't played yet, and so hopefully that can be next week in Winnipeg against a Montreal, right? Against Montreal.
Trevor, how would you? There's still one more to go, obviously, but how would you describe the significance of what happened tonight for this team and for this fan base?
I know my comments yesterday were a little bit more brash than what they normally are, but I saw that Nathan kind of, on that sneak, he said, it's our time. I think it's our time.
When you looked at your jersey and it said mobile on the bottom, with all your running prowess of late, what went through your mind?
I wanted to put a little T in front of that. Some of my teammates were like, I got to put a T in front of the T-Mobile. And I was like, yeah, so I kind of stole that joke from them. So, yeah, it was a really hard-fought game. Nathan Rourke's an outstanding player. Him or, you know, he might win the MVP of the league, and very deservingly so. And he made some big plays tonight. Some of the stuff where he's stepping up in the pocket and he's coddled up and he flips it with his hand. It was pretty awesome. But pretty fun duel, but we'll take it because we ended up getting the last laugh. But, yeah, he's great player, great future. Yeah, he's gonna be the face of the league for a while, but not yet. We'll take this. But we're not done yet. We got one more week to go 1-0.
Whoo!
Cool comments.
Clearly, the Nathan Rourke love that he's been receiving the last couple of weeks has ruffled the feathers of the best team in the Canadian Football League and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Well, he may be the best player in the league. He deserves that attention.
That is true. Yeah. Yes. But you, Belton, you know how pro athletes are. If you're the best team in the league and the other team's getting the love, you go.
You got to put them to rest, man. You put them to rest.
Shut everybody up.
Yep. You have to.
And they did.
Mm-hmm. They did. Indeed. I want to crash the phone lines really quick. We do have to wrap, but you've been really patient. Let's get to you. Rattle them off before Unsung Heroes. Harvey in Saskatoon, thanks for your patience. What are you thinking tonight?
Well, on the 3rd and 10 play, I was thinking that Mace has got to acknowledge that he made a mistake there. If they do a 3rd and 10 and complete it, well, that's great. If they incomplete it, BC gets the ball. We still have to 2-and-out them. They either punt or kick a field goal. But in any event, we still have to score a touchdown to win. So what he, by punting on 3rd and 10, he's given another offensive play to BC, and he's taken away an offensive play from us. So I think that he should acknowledge that was the exact same situation happened. He should do it different. He should gamble on 3rd and 10 in a situation like that. Either way, it worked out great, but I think he made a mistake there. And the other one was previous drive. There was a post pattern to Schaefer Baker. I was at the game on the big screen. It looked like the defender had his back to the ball, stuck his hand up in Schaefer Baker's face. He drops the ball, doesn't catch it. There's no challenge. I think that's defensive pass interference. That guy was right in his face, not looking back at the ball, hand up in Schaefer Baker's face. What do you guys think about that?
Well, the screening is allowed now. You can put your – that's not a thing. He played the 3rd and 10. The punt was the smart call with a 1:46 left. Because if you give BC the ball there, they run time off the clock, kick a field goal, they got by 7. They're going to overtime. You kick it deep again. You've already said you believe in your defense. You have to do it again. Brendan in Lumsden, what are you thinking tonight as we wrap up here?
Right off the top, guys, we're going to the Grey Cup, baby.
Yes.
We're bringing it back to Saskatchewan. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The secondary, you know, they left a couple of plays out on the field there that I'd look at and go, what the heck are you doing? Sales coming up with that interception, though, I think sort of washed that out for me. So, you know what? Defense played a heck of a game. As per, you know, the last few callers, too, that have called in, and what the heck were we thinking kicking that field goal? I'll take a word out of my little brother's book here is you're going to let them play against the number one run defense in the league. Stand with the D, let them chew them up and spit them out and come back and give the offense a shot to win the game like they did.
Absolutely. Yeah. Brendan,
we're winning. We're winning that Grey Cup.
All right, Brendan. I think you're not alone in that prediction. Dave, what are you thinking tonight?
Yeah, hey, guys. I guess three plays that I think kind of really made the difference tonight. You know, really quickly, does Buck Pierce not watch? Did he not remember the Super Bowl between the Seahawks and the Patriots, where the Patriots went for it and threw the ball instead of running it? Like, as a Rider fan, I love it. I'm glad we got the interception. But I think Buck Pierce looks back at that. I think he does things differently, and we probably have a different outcome. I didn't see it from the end zone. Who made the tackle on second and three to force the
AJ Allen
on the work? Yeah, oh, unbelievable! Like the fact that you know that was something that they were game planning for, that Rourke was gonna tuck it and run. Again, game saving play, and of course the catch by Dante Myers, like the touchdown for Neal, but the catch by not Myers to go off his body to make that catch at the 3 yard line. To me, those are the three plays that define that game for the Riders tonight.
Dave, thank you so much for the call. You broke it down perfectly. Those are three huge, huge plays. And Murray, what are you thinking tonight?
The referee has just won the Grey Cup. This matchup was so tight, and like I think they blew them out. I feel like it was going to be a 1-point game, and they blew them out. They're just going to Winnipeg to pick up the trophy. That's it.
All right. Confident Rider Nation tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Confident Rider Nation tonight.
Their head coach feels the same way, obviously, right? That's why he can make those strategic calls that go against every rule in the book.
That went against every rule.
Absolutely it did, yeah.
Okay, let's get to the unsung heroes real quick. Daryl Davis,
well,
what do you got?
You guys, we interviewed him. Britton Gray interviewed Brett Lather 3-for-3. When you field goals in both converts, you win by 3 points, and the kicker, one of the best kickers in the league, hits an upright in Sean White, and they lose by 3 points. So Brett Lather did his job, very kind of low-key, but that's a pretty good night for a kicker who's struggled quite a bit this season. And Jamie, I know you like guys with special teams tackles. There are two on the BC Lions.
Three by Rene.
Yeah, three with Riley, with two guys. Riley Pickett.
Well, Sasky boy.
Yeah, Sasky boy. USASC grad. Three special teams tackles, and Patrice Rene also three. So they kept Mario Alford in check a little bit, and Alford could have. You keep thinking maybe he can break one here and turn the game around, but they did a good job on him. Yeah. So two guys with three special teams tackles, they can be the unsung heroes for the BC Lions.
There you have it. Unsung heroes. Whew. What a night.
Oh, what a night.
24-21. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back here next week for the Green Zone pregame show, 3 o'clock on Sunday. Well, I'm myself and Locker and Britton. We're heading to Winnipeg. We'll be broadcasting live starting Tuesday from Grey Cup City with the Riders and the Alouettes. But I know you want to go through bold predictions real quick. Belton.
I don't know.
You got 1, 2, 3, 8, because you got a bonus point on yardage. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 Uh-oh. Points.
There goes the lead.
I don't know.
Daryl's got 1, 2, 3, 4. I got 1.
There goes the lead.
2. Oh, sorry, Daryl. You got 5. I apologize. Okay. I got 1, 2, 3, 4.
Belton's taking over the lead.
I just went unconventional like Mace did, right? Strategy.
Belton goes to 138.
Doesn't make any sense. All right.
Daryl says 132, and I'm at 130. We'll see if we can catch Belton next week for the final game of the season. Grey Cup Sunday, the Green Zone pregame show at 3 o'clock. Hopefully I'll see you in Winnipeg at Ryderville. How about that, Saskatchewan? The Riders are Grey Cup bound. They'll take on the Alouettes at Princess Auto Stadium for a championship. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.